You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
If you know by now, you know that we kick off our show with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. We're going to start off with the market movements throughout the day, but also take a look at a general outlook for the year, as this is the first show of 2025. I thought it would be a good idea to just take a look at what our expectations are of the year that is, or the year that lies ahead. I'm joined on the line by Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at the market movements. Good evening, Gary. Welcome back from the holiday. Lovely to have you back. You and I spoke just before you left for the holidays that we would potentially be in for a Santa rally, as we have been accustomed to in the past, that period just after Christmas, just before the new year, finishing off the year on a strong note. Not only did we not get a Santa rally this time around, we actually saw that the JSE finished weaker than when you and I finished our conversation. What happened?
Yeah, 100%. So a little bit unusual. You also normally get that stronger currency, and the currency went completely the other way this year. And that's markets for you. As soon as you think that you've got them worked out, that's when they teach you a lesson. So the currency obviously weakening significantly over the period. We are coming back strongly today, however. But you get the sense that maybe everyone just felt the markets had done a little bit too much for the year, maybe a little bit of profit taking into the end of the year as well. Obviously always on much lower volume. So if I look at the 1 year numbers, still, it depends when you start your Santa rally, because, a lot of people say, oh, it's that very quiet period over Christmas. But a lot of guys say, from kind of November, that's when you need to be buying markets, October, November, and you get that Santa rally into the end of the year. So that the last 3 months of the year. And if you look in US dollar terms, I mean, both the international markets, the US market specifically and tech specifically did exceptionally well last year. So if I'm going to rebase all of this into dollars, because it's sometimes difficult for people just to go and compare if they Google. This stuff, but the Nasdaq over the last year up 51% in dollars, the S&P 500 up 26% in dollars, and the JSE All Share, and this is in dollar terms, not in rand terms, and this is even accounting for the little bit of weakness in currency we had towards the end, still up 18.5% in US dollars, which is pretty strong when you consider the likes of the Euro stocks or the whole of Europe, their largest 50 companies, only up 8.7% in dollars. The likes of the FTSE in the UK, FTSE 100, only up 8.8, and investors in Australia, unfortunately, which the price return was only just under 3%, but it's a very, very heavily dividend weighted index, because it's got a lot of banking stocks in there, a lot of miners as well that do sometimes pay special dividends. Total return over the last 12 months, only 6.7%. So really the standouts have been actually SA. SA has done exceptionally well, even though we did have that little bit of a fizzle towards the end. And of course, tech and the US and the U.S. focus that we've seen, I suppose, with markets getting very excited with Donald Trump coming in.
Speaking of Donald Trump and the markets, obviously when we look at these markets, as you said, Gary, it's important to look at things contextually. But today alone, we saw an announcement coming out of the U.S. in the early hours of their morning, rather. Well, not really early hours, but earlier in their morning before their trading day officially started. That was about lunchtime, our time, that sent markets into a frenzy. I mean, I look at the top 40 gained almost a full percent in that 1 hour alone, when the president-elect of the United States, Donald Trump, announced that, of course, they're looking at some one single law to introduce, or universal tariffs to introduce, and they're looking at specifically everything except critical imports would be subject to a tariff. And that obviously had markets moving quite a bit, and I thought we would have a good movement from that throughout the rest of the afternoon, and the rest of the afternoon was nothing but a letdown, and it continues.
Yeah, so a little bit all over the place at the moment. So again, we're definitely seeing the idea of a protectionist administration coming in the U.S. Boeing, tech stocks, S&P 500, anything that's listed and operating in the U.S. Seen as almost going to have an advantage, because there's this political dispensation coming in behind it that's going to improve things. So we do have the Nasdaq up 1.7% at the moment, S&P 500 up 1.2%. So U.S. markets definitely liking the announcement, but it's quite a confusing announcement as well. So, you know, obviously Donald Trump campaigned on the idea of this universal tariff, you know, maybe 10%, maybe 20%. Nothing was really put down. And today there was a little bit more clarity coming out that this might not be the universal tariff that he talked about, but instead it's going to be more of a sector-based tariff in which it will be universal, but it's going to target sectors that need it. And I think the concern has been, certainly for market participants, is what the impact of a universal tariff is going to do to inflation in the US. So if you just, you know, put a 20% import tariff on anything moving to the US, that's obviously going to stoke inflation. It's one of the reasons that we've seen the expectation for rate cuts from the Federal Reserve coming down as aggressively as they have at the moment. So right now, the meeting on the 29th of January, there's about a 90% chance of no change. And if you look all the way out to the 10th of December meeting, the probability is, so the 38% probability, which is the highest probability, is that rates are only going to be 25 basis points, so 0.25% lower than where we are now. So very, very subdued. You're looking at maybe one, maybe two rate cuts, maybe two rate cuts and a rate hike, but a much, much more subdued path for monetary policy over the next year. And a lot of that has to do with the tariffs that are coming from Donald Trump. Now, suddenly you adjust that from a universal tariff to say, wait a minute, we're going to do this on a sector by sector basis, and anything that is key to economic or national security might see reduced tariffs. And I think the big concern has definitely been that a universal tariff will push up the price of food in the US. It'll also push up the price of cheap consumer electronics, which will be very politically unpopular. And we know a lot of Republicans have almost rallied against this, saying this universal tariff idea is not a good one. So essentially, if they do switch it to more of a sector-based tariff, that still solves the issue of individual country-based tariffs. So The challenge in the first Donald Trump administration was that you might have imposed the tariff on China. All China would do would, let's say, export the goods that they wanted to get into the U.S. to Vietnam. Vietnam wouldn't have the same tariff regime in place, and they'd be able to get goods into the U.S. Just by essentially looping it through a third geographic jurisdiction. A sector-based tariff gets around that. So that, I think, is the idea that this is maybe a little bit of a looser implementation of the tariffs, and it's not going to be as inflationary. I think that's why markets are getting a little bit more excited. But all of this is unconfirmed at this stage as well. And sure, in markets where there's smoke, there's fire, and you know, you buy the rumor, you sell the fact. But none of this is confirmed at this stage. And it's still very unclear, obviously, Donald Trump coming in on the 20th of January. And it's definitely not certain what this is going to look like at this stage. So it's still very early days, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think it is one of the key themes for 2025 is watching the Donald Trump administration and kind of moving from one news announcement to the next.
I think the bigger key theme in 2025 is whether or not Donald Trump actually cares about what we say. We've seen in the past that the president doesn't often listen to markets or listen to reason. He comes out, he says things, and then it's for everybody else to figure out thereafter. Gary, before I let you go, I want to take a look at, of course, the rest of the developments around the world. You mentioned, of course, that the US policy is a bit uncertain here. We also know that the Chinese policy was uncertain last year, and the People's Bank of China came out with a statement saying that they are looking to improve consumption in China and stimulate the consumption environment in China. Your thoughts on that and what that could potentially mean for global markets?
I think it's definitely a good thing. China is it's a complex economy, and the People's Bank of China, so their central bank, essentially has a lot more levers than, let's say, the South African Reserve Bank or the Federal Reserve or even the ECB, in that they can adjust, you know, many different individual rates. They can also set quantitative objectives. They can influence the way that banks, what banks' loan books look like, and they have an enormous amount of control over the Chinese economy in how it allocates resources. And what we've had from their policy meeting that was, I believe it was the 3rd and the 4th of January, is this desire to reform this. And I think it is going to be a key theme in 2025 as they move more towards a more traditional monetary policy where they have that single rate tool that they apply to the market. And I think that's going to be a good thing. I really do. I think it's going to lead to a little bit more transparency. It's going to bring it more in line with international standards. And hopefully, you know, if they do end up cutting their benchmark rate as well, that will stimulate the Chinese economy. And of course, countries like South Africa that are very are key to, you know, our performance is key in how the Chinese economy operates is incredibly important for us. It will be a positive thing for the South African currency, I think, and the South African market in general. I think the one thing just to note is, China is shifting from a very commodity-hungry giant to a very service-driven economy, and that is changing. So the idea that we're going to get our resource sector bouncing aggressively, or we might see much higher commodity prices, and we know higher commodity prices are very linked to our local currency as well. That might not be the case. We might see the stimulus and the development of the Chinese economy outside of things that South Africa applies, which I think will be a little bit of a concern and something that we've got to think about as a country.
Lots to think about, and certainly a busy year ahead. I mean, we've only just started the year, but it does sound like we could be in for a lot of decisions and a lot of adjustments. I think we'll leave the conversation there, Gary. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Gary Boyson, Director and Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, joining me to take a look at how the markets kicked off the first full trading week of 2025 and what we might be in for the rest of the year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.